Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message comes to us from our gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 5, and especially these verses. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. This far the text. My dear friends in Christ, if you were to ask somebody unfamiliar with Christianity what Christian religion is all about, you would probably get some answer that involves something about do's and don'ts, about certain religious acts, that you follow a certain way of life. That's wrong. That's not Christianity. That could actually describe just about every religion in the world, that it's made up of rules to follow. Christianity, however, is primarily a religion of relationship. It is primarily about our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. Christ answered the young lawyer's question of what is the greatest commandment specifically with this description. First, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And second, love your neighbor as yourself. Christianity, as defined by Christ, involves those two aspects of relationship. Our relationship with God, our relationship with each other. Christianity is a religion of relationship. That's the easy part. The hard part is, we live as human beings in lots of broken and breaking relationships. We are engaged as Christians of faith in a religion of relationship, but in fact our lives, marred by sin, taken away by sin, are lives that are reflected in broken and breaking relationships. Just think about your sphere of friends, your sphere of family, the people that you interact with right now, are there any of those relationships that are broken or breaking? Are there any of those relationships that aren't where God would desire that they would be? What about here? In your sphere of church, are there broken or breaking relationships in this place? Christ here in Matthew 5 makes it clear. Be reconciled to one another. We are a religion of relationship, and we're given the tools of relationship, and we're given the tools of reconciliation. We have to not only be a people who preach and talk about and sing about forgiveness, but who actually believe it is real and who practice it. C.S. Lewis put it this way: if you have to believe in something, you have to really believe in it. And he said, imagine a twine you use to wrap a box. And somebody will ask you, do you believe that is a strong twine? And you'll say, yeah, absolutely. That's a strong twine. It's going to hold that box shut. Will you then hang from that twine over a 3,000-foot cliff? Well, now suddenly it's a different story. Maybe that twine doesn't appear quite as strong as it looked wrapping around the box, right? Forgiveness is like that. It has to be not only something that we believe out there, but something that we believe and that we hold fast to and know it to be true and therefore practiced. We are a religion of relationship, and that relationship is practiced in the practice of forgiveness, in the practice of reconciliation. So what I would like to do with you this morning is I want you to begin by putting a relationship in the front of your mind and saying, this is a relationship that is either broken or breaking. And I want to give you some very practical steps towards reconciliation in that relationship. First, whatever is causing the break, whatever has made the relationship broken, take that, and your first step is to realize and recognize that whatever that sin is, whatever that gap is already paid for in Christ. The guilt of that breaking relationship, the guilt of what has caused the break, is already paid for. There's nothing to be meted out. Christ has, in fact, actually died on the cross for whatever that sin is. Whatever it is you believe somebody has done to you or you've done to somebody else is already paid for in the blood of our Savior. It's upon His body and therefore done. The guilt of it does not remain. It's with God. He has taken it away. Our God, who has given us a religion of relationship, heals those relationships in the body of His Son. He actually does it. He actually gives forgiveness. Jesus demonstrates this very well, right? Right after He is raised from the dead, He has a problem. He has two apostles that there's been a broken relationship with. Thomas and Peter. Thomas, because of his doubts. The first time Jesus showed himself to the apostles, Thomas wasn't in the room. And the apostles were like, "You wouldn't believe it. Jesus came and He was here with us." Thomas like, "Come on, guys. I was born at night, but not last night." And the next time Jesus appears, what does He turn Thomas towards for healing that broken relationship, that doubting? The very wounds the cross inflicted. "See, here are my hands. Look at my side. Stop doubting and believe." It is the cross that heals Thomas's doubt and the broken relationship that that doubt had caused with his Savior. So too with Peter. Peter comes and he's at the shore there, right? And he had denied Christ and he realizes it's Jesus on the shore, and he does that very Peter thing where he jumps out of the boat instead of just staying in the boat for the 30-second ride to shore. But Jesus heals him, heals that relationship. "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." It is the risen, crucified Lord who heals the broken relationship with Peter by his crucifixion. So the first step in reconciliation of a broken relationship is to recognize and realize that whatever the sin that has caused this break has been paid for in the hands of our Savior, in the wounds of His side, in the crown of thorns, in His glorified death. The second step in healing or reconciling with a brother or sister in Christ is to be forgiven yourself. Well, Jesus here calls us to not allow ourselves to dwell there and be engaged in these religious acts of offering our gifts before the altar, but go and be reconciled to our brother. That happens specifically because we are forgiven. It happens because God forgave us. It happens because I can look at myself and look at that mirror of the law and say, "I'm a sinner. I'm actually chief of sinners. It's something I'm really good at. But I'm forgiven." You can't forgive another person until this becomes for you. We love because He first loved us. We forgive because He first forgave us. So the second step in this process of reconciliation is to understand yourself as one forgiven, one for whom Christ died. To know that that cross isn't just out there, this great gift of forgiveness that God speaks to everyone else, but that He speaks it to you. He speaks it to me. It's real. He speaks it to me, and because he's spoken it to me, now I stand here forgiven and redeemed and able to forgive. Able to reach out. Able to cross the barrier of that broken relationship with forgiveness that wouldn't have been there if I hadn't understood myself as forgiven. So that's the second step. So the first step is recognize that the sin is paid on the cross. The second step is understand yourself as one who has been forgiven. The third step is actually very, very practical. Pray for them. And you're like, duh. But do you do it? Do we do it? Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who you have broken relationship with. Think back at the great martyrdoms in the history of the church. Starting with Christ himself, the great martyrdoms are marked by one important thing. They pray for those who are about to kill them. Jesus at the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen kneeling there, looking up, seeing into heaven, being stoned, Father, forgive them. Polycarp being burnt at the stake, Father, forgive them. Dietrich Bonhoeffer on Flossenbürg in 1945, going to the gallows, praying for his executioners. And it moved one of his executioners so much that he wrote a tract about it. The great martyrs of the church have prayed in the moment of their death for their enemies. How much more we who are engaged or attempt to be engaged in relationships that are now broken? Should we not pray for those whom we're broken from? Offer them up by name to God daily. Say to God, I don't know what to do about this. I don't know what to do about this situation. Please help me, Lord. Heal me of this. Guide me and be with them. Turn their heart as you turn mine. Bring us both to a place of reconciliation. So recognize their sin is paid for at the cross. Be forgiven yourself. Understand yourself as forgiven. And then third, pray for them daily, by name, in your daily prayers. The fourth thing is perhaps the most difficult thing. Put no conditions upon the forgiveness you offer. That's hard for us as human beings. Because our natural instinct is to want some kind of payment, is to want something to be done to them so that they know they were wrong. Lord, I'll forgive them if only they will do this. Lord, I'll forgive them if only they will admit that I was right. Lord, I'll forgive them if only they will come to understand the truth. Christian forgiveness has no condition. Christ puts no condition upon the forgiveness he gives. Think back to the story of the woman that was caught in adultery. You remember this one? They're bringing her, they're about to stone her. And Jesus says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And then starting with the oldest and down to the youngest, they begin to walk away realizing that they are all sinners and they don't have the right to stone this woman. Jesus doesn't turn to her and say, now you'll be forgiven as long as you do this. As long as you don't re-engage in this adulterous lifestyle, you're forgiven. The first thing he says to her is, no one left to condemn you. Then neither do I. No condition, just you're forgiven. And then he sends her forth saying, now go and live a life that reflects God's glory. Go and sin no more. It's not a condition to the forgiveness, it's a direction for what's to come. We don't get to put conditions on forgiveness. Christ doesn't. Now, the easy answer is to say, well, Pastor, I'm not Jesus. Duh. And yet, that's an escape clause. We use that too often. Well, Jesus is perfect, and he was God, and he could do that, but we can't. And it becomes an excuse for us not to try. No excuses. No conditions. Forgive, forgive, and oh, by the way, forgive. Because Christ has forgiven you. Without condition, without strings, without clauses. Just, you are forgiven. Now go and sin no more. That's it. A very practical guide to being reconciled to your brothers and sisters in Christ, to those whom you have broken relationship with now. We are a religion of relationship, established by God, reestablished by him and his son, Jesus Christ. And the relationships that are broken in our lives are healed by being in reconciliation, by doing these simple things. Realizing and recognizing the sin is paid for at the cross. Offering an understanding that we too are forgiven and therefore can forgive. Speaking the name of those whom our relationship is broken with in our daily prayers. And finally, putting no conditions on it. Saying, God has forgiven me. And now, because I'm forgiven, I forgive. To God be the glory. Now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.